Winged Escort, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1, A Fresh Start. Lieutenant Tim Rowan stood on the side of Gladstone Dock and studied the overhanging bulk of the aircraft carrier with something like apprehension. Behind and around him, the air was filled with all the usual noises, creaking gantries, a clatter of dockside machinery, and the sloshing footsteps of workers and sailors alike as they bustled through a steady drizzle. It was mid-July 1943, but this was Liverpool, where it always seemed to rain a great deal, and where war had left too deep a mark for people to think much of past summers. Tim Rowan was 26, but at this particular moment felt older, less sure of himself. It was often like this when you returned from leave, no matter how short the break, how elusive the ability to relax. He ran his gaze critically along the newly painted ship's side, from the high stem up across her flight deck, past the small, box-like bridge, the island, and aft, to where some oil-skinned seamen were hosing down wood shavings from emptied crates. She was not a proper aircraft carrier, not by any stretch of the imagination, but then the war had gone on for so long that people were able to believe almost anything, like his parents, who slept every night beneath the frail stairs of their house in Surrey, like the unending intake of naval recruits who accepted a one-time holiday camp as a training base merely because of its flag and its uniforms, and the fact that they believed it. Old paddle steamers, which had once plied between Southampton and the Isle of Wight with cheerful holidaymakers, were now accepted as minesweepers or patrol vessels. He walked slowly along the carrier's side towards a brow. On the deck stood a solitary lifebuoy on a varnished stand. Even the ship's name, HMS Growler, sounded as if someone at the Admiralty had had to think of it in a hurry, like the ship. For Growler had been thrown together without much concern for style or beauty. With several others, she had begun life in an American shipyard, to become, it was thought, a freighter. Fate, and the desperate need for air cover over the battered and butchered Atlantic convoys, had decided otherwise. To help plug the breach left by the losses of more gracious carriers early in the war, the conversion from freighter to warship had started. Now, with her flight deck and her blunt, uncompromising lines, there was little left of Growler's original design. Rowan watched the comings and goings of dockyard men and naval personnel up and down the two steep brows. It was a strange, unnerving feeling, as if he were an onlooker, as if none of these preoccupied-looking men could see him. He shivered inside his raincoat, as if he were dead. He had been in the Growler, now officially classed as an escort carrier, for 3 months. Before that, he had been in a heavy fleet carrier in the Mediterranean, and before that, he shook himself from his thoughts, shutting out the jumbled pictures which had made up his life since the outbreak of war. Places and faces always stood out more than the ships. Norway, the burning ships, the exhausted retreating troops, the Mediterranean and Greece, Crete and beleaguered Malta. It was always an uphill fight. The faces rarely left him. Broad smiles to hide taut nerves, the expressions becoming set and grim, like strangers, as one by one the aircraft had rolled snarling along a carrier's deck, then off towards an horizon. He could barely recall the names of some of them, especially those who had not come back. In HMS Growler, he had discovered an unexpected change. He was no longer a unit in a trained team. From the losses and the growing requirements in every theatre of war, he had emerged a veteran. It was still hard to grasp. He did not want to accept it. It lessened the odds on living, they said. They had done two big convoys in the North Atlantic, in the Gap, as it was termed, that vast 700-mile spread of mid-ocean between longitudes 30 and 40 degrees west, where land-based aircraft could not operate to any purpose from British or American fields. It was for the Gap, and similar areas, which had caused Growler and her consorts to be born. After working up the new ship's company, learning each other's jobs, and flying on her two broods of aircraft, Growler had gone to show her paces in earnest.